Good morning. I'll just move that across. And happy Mother's Day to the mothers. So as Philip said, continuing this series on the attractiveness of Jesus. And this time it's about Matthew. And let me get my clicker out. And the first three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all have something to say about this. So, one at a time, well, there's the three of them. I'll read each of them. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Mark 2:14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Luke 5:27-28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. They're almost all identical. So, a couple of things before we get going. There's been, among theologians, some discussion about whether the Apostle Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew or whether another Matthew wrote it. The Apostle Matthew was martyred about AD 70 in Ethiopia. He was nailed to the floor and beheaded, so not a nice way to go. Now, it's not very clear either when Matthew's Gospel was written. If it was written before AD 70, then the Apostle Matthew is very likely to be the author. If it was written in AD 80, as some people suggest, then it couldn't have been written by the Apostle Matthew. So whichever is correct, we are nonetheless graced with this wonderful account of Jesus' life and work. Secondly, there's two names. Matthew's Gospel calls him Matthew, and the other two Gospels call him Levi. Back in those days, many Jews interacted with the Greek and Roman culture, so it was quite common for them to have both a Hebrew name and a Greek name. So Saul of Tarsus was also known by the Greek name of Paul. And so we can assume that Levi was his Jewish name and Matthew was his Greek name. Right, next slide. Just a bit of context. Capernaum is where Matthew lived, and it's on an important trade route between the city of Damascus and the Mediterranean Sea. So this is where Matthew lived, this is where his tax collector booth was, and he got lots of people coming through. Lots of taxes, lots of money. Quite a lucrative job. He was employed by the Roman government. Now, no one quite knows what a tax collector's booth looked like back in the day. Tax collectors were far from poor, so their booths were probably quite flash because they made a lot of money doing this work. So Matthew's booth would have been on the main road through Capernaum, in a place where he could see all the travellers coming, passing through. And his boss was Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee. It's a little bit more on background. Taxes. There were two types of taxes. There were fixed taxes and tolls. The fixed taxes were 10%. On anything you were bringing through, you pay 10%. And if there's lots of these guys along the road, then that is a serious cost. So tolls were taxes for the use of the roads, for docking boats at the harbour, and for import and export. So taxes have been around for a long time. Now, here's the thing. There was no limit to the amount of money the tax collector or his employees could actually collect. Rome did not care how much they collected as long as they paid their share to the Roman government. If they collected more than was required, they kept the rest. So not surprisingly, tax collectors were both rich and disliked. Okay. Now, old picture. Not too easy to see. Painted in 1600 by Caravaggio. And yes, they're not wearing what they wore back in Jesus' time, but it's still quite a good picture. So Jesus is on the far right, and Peter's next to him, and he's pointing at Matthew. Matthew's the fellow with the beard who seems to be pointing at himself, kind of, you mean me? And his right hand's on the money. Okay. This is not the first time that Matthew has seen Jesus. In the early days of Jesus' ministry, Capernaum was kind of like Jesus' home base. And he often taught in the synagogue at Capernaum. And Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, we're told that Jesus began teaching in Capernaum on the Sabbath, and people were amazed at his authority. There were lots of miracles done in Capernaum. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the healing of the paralytic, and the healing of the centurion's servant. And all these things were recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke before Jesus called Matthew. So Matthew had certainly heard about Jesus, almost certainly seen him before he was called. He'd known about the miracles that Jesus had done and things like that. So a reasonable guess is that Jesus called Matthew about a year and a half into his ministry, about halfway through it. So not kind of at the beginning like I would have thought. Not surprisingly, Matthew's occupation as a tax collector put him in a despised class. So on this particular day, Jesus stops by Matthew. He says to Matthew, follow me. Only two words. It's a command, not a question. No conditions. He doesn't say you can only follow me if you give up your sinful lifestyle as a tax collector. Doesn't say that. No conditions whatsoever, just come, follow me. And Matthew is ready. He is so ready. He got up and followed Jesus. Now, this is a bit different from Jesus' other four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who are around. Had to call them three times before they finally got it together and followed him. Matthew did it one time. So Matthew was ready. He did not hesitate when Jesus called him. He did not say, thanks for the offer, let me think about it, I'll get back to you, what's your phone number or something. He did not say, what do you have in mind, Jesus? He just got up, left his tax booth, left his career as a tax collector, and threw a very large party for Jesus, for the four disciples, and many of his tax collector friends. A little aside, it seems like Matthew was not married. So it's kind of easy for him just to drop everything and follow Jesus. It's like that through this invitation, Matthew has been released and set free. Now there's another similar story with a different outcome in Matthew 19, 16 to 22. It's about a rich young ruler who wanted to know what he had to do to have eternal life. And after a short discussion, Jesus said to him, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But this rich young man could not do it and walked away. So quite a contrast between that and Matthew, who, just to say it again, after Jesus spoke only two words to him, immediately dropped everything and followed Jesus. So this command of Jesus to follow me is for us all. It seems to me then that the obvious question is this: are you ready? Am I ready? So if you were suddenly presented with an option you had not really considered before, would you be ready? Whether you're young or old, it makes little difference. Now, something else I just need to touch on before I try and be practical about this is that the question is this: did Matthew choose to follow Jesus by his own choice, or did God's Spirit move him to follow Jesus? Some will say it was Matthew's choice. Some will say that the call of Jesus was irresistible. And others will say that they don't really know. We certainly have free will to make our own choices, and God has the power to act in the lives of every one of us. Now, a lot of ink has been spilt over things like this. I don't know. Best I can offer is that both are more or less true. We're free to make choices, and God is at work in our lives for good, and sometimes we don't even know it. So, back to my original question. Are you ready? Here's what Bob Dylan had to say in one of his songs. Now, I need to move forward. It's a long time ago. So, what does it mean to be ready? He asked some good questions. Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you haven't taken that step and said yes, don't wait too long. Today is a good day. Are you ready to put your desires aside and stop acting like a boss? Are you thinking for yourself? Are you following others? Being ready includes being open to opportunities. So I've got a couple of examples to give you from my own experience, and you will have them as well. Some years ago at Chapel Hill, our founding pastor, Kent Pallison, was planning to step down, and we created a search committee, and we did all the right things. We searched for applicants, and after quite a while, zero, nothing. At that point, to my surprise, I was asked if I would be interested in the role of pastor, something I ended up serving in that role for 9 years. Another example, our experience this time, Wendy and I, after finishing as pastor here, I got my old job back at Waikato University, and that was quite comfortable. And Wendy and I wondered what was next. And I'd say that we adopted a posture of being available for mission work, and an opportunity came up, and we ended up in Myanmar teaching at the Meigs Bible College. So, what does it mean to be ready? It means to be ready. That's what it means. To be open to considering things that you perhaps hadn't considered. To be open to God's leading. It can mean to walk through doors that you've never opened before. I gave you a couple of examples of my own, but God will call or perhaps stir each of us in different ways. And the command is for us all to follow Jesus, to be ready. So when or if you're presented with an option you have not really considered before, will you be ready? And some things, you can't do everything, but the posture of being ready, I think, is quite an important part from this passage. So, what does Matthew do after he gets up and follows Jesus? Well, he throws a party. Not just any party, but a big banquet, an expensive party. A party where his friends were invited, mostly other hated tax collector, and it would have cost him a fortune, this party. Yeah, just tons of people. Why did he do this? Because he wanted his friends to meet Jesus. What a good way to do it. And Jesus was glad to come, so you could call it a seeker party. Now, practically, is God calling you to something? It might be a radical call like that of Matthew. It might be a small nudge to God. A small nudge by God, I should say, to do something. It's not something to worry about, but it could, I just encourage you to be open to that possibility, just as Matthew was. It's not really about waiting for something to happen. You just get on with your lives, and if a door opens, you might walk through it. You might say, no, that door's not for me. I won't go through it. But I guess the thing that stood out to me most in this is the posture of being ready, just as Matthew was ready. Didn't think, just went on with it. So that's my concluding wisdom from all this. Be ready. I'll just pray. Father, we're grateful for the example of Matthew, kind of a bad man, deeply disliked, who did not hesitate when Jesus said to him, follow me. So Lord, may your Spirit help us to be ready. Help us to develop a posture of readiness. May we not be anxious about what you may ask of us, for we know that you will equip us for whatever may lie ahead. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, John.